I'd like to acknowledge that I'm the Kaurna people and honour the spirit of this land on which I live and learn, and the wisdom of the Kaurna ancestors and their lessons of caretaking are a constant source of inspiration and guidance to my work and life. I'd also like to thank Cheryl for giving me the opportunity to honour Michael and his work and to speak about the inspiration and guidance that his ideas have opened in my life. There are, I'm sure, many people here today who share in an appreciation of Michael as both a man of humility and humour, as well as a great thought leader. The significance of him being a lovely person is without doubt an important feature of his work. Most of us here have probably had an experience of a gesture of care, humour or consideration that reflected Michael's ability to notice the micropolitics of relating. His kindness and silly humour have been important enough in my own life to mean, as you've just heard, that Amy and her partner Jamie chose to name Harry with Michael's name as well. And we now have the opportunity to share the story of Michael's care and humour that as we explain to Harry why he is also Harry Michael. At the same time as acknowledging the importance of these features of Michael, I think it's also really important to acknowledge that Michael was extraordinary in being ordinary. He, I guess, in many ways, had opportunities more than most to make a way in the world that could perhaps have cultivated arrogance or self-importance that clearly Michael refused. The efforts and practices of this are not what were visible to me, but I must assume it required his attention and intention. And he achieved, for the most part, a balance of single-minded focus that is required when cultivating new ways of working, in combination with being available to give attention to the small details of life and engagement with people. The achievement of being a good, ordinary person in the world, I think, should not be lost or understated in the acknowledgement of his achievements. Michael's work, as it originated in his friendship and partnership with David Epstein and facilitated and developed in so many ways through his partnership with Cheryl and through the publishing house of Dulwich Centre with David D, has had a wide reach. The number of you gathered today from across the world and the many ceremonies held in honour of Michael around the world are testimony to the extent of his impact. This impact makes me think of an Italian philosopher, Adriano Cavero's story about a man who in the night is woken by a great noise of the pond wall leaking. In the dark, he runs back and forth across the snow to repair the leak. He stumbles and falls many times, but is determined to stop the water and the fish escaping from his pond. When he has fixed the leak, he returns to bed. When he awakes in the morning and looks out the window, he sees that his footprints and stumbles have left an outline of a stalk in the snow. Cavero asks, does the course of every life allow itself to be looked upon at the end like a design that has meaning? Clearly the man repairing the pond was not intending to make the design of the stalk. The design is the effect, not the cause of his actions. Life cannot be lived like a story because the story comes afterwards. It is a result. It is unforeseeable and uncontrollable. The one who walks on the ground cannot see the figure that his or her footprints leave behind. In thinking about Michael's story and the footprints he has left behind, I wonder what design this might be. I think he would want it to be in the shape of a small aeroplane or a bicycle or some sort of instrument of movement and transportation. But for me, I think he's left the shape of people in conversation. There are many things to thank Michael for, but one of the most significant for me is the doorway to a love of philosophy and conversations that stretch across the millennium and cultures about the meanings we make of life. The questions of how to live and what to make from the singularity of one's experience and of our own moment in time are wondrous themes that demand daily decisions about how to act. Entering into these age-old conversations with purpose and care is the art of what I understand narrative therapy as developed and worked at by Michael and his colleagues to be about. This is indeed a gift and a beautiful design that will, like good art and music, continue to resonate for me and I know many others. In fact, I know that Michael has left more than one design, more than one story with many different people and communities. His generosity and sharing has meant that his work has been both widely engaged with and influenced by many. Michael has, in effect, contributed to an international, across-century conversation about how to be with people, whether it is people in trauma, people who have been rendered abject or marginal or different or just in the neighbourhood. Michael and David Epstein's work have actively developed practices of engagement and storytelling that do not close down or determine a trajectory forward, but rather open up a preferred potentiality. While Michael's voice will no longer contribute to these conversations, his ideas will continue to have influence. They will pave the way for more conversations to come. And sometimes I think I hear him comment, or think I hear his ironic laugh, and sometimes I speculate about what he might say or ask. But mostly I know he introduced me to many wonderful people who I have met around narrative therapy, and also to philosophers, both dead and alive, with whom I will continue to have conversations and work out what we may ask or say or do. And I will continue to find my own way of refusing the arrogance of first world privilege and keep trying to make my own design of extraordinary ordinariness.